ever did that with him, I'd probably never find my way back. Well, welcome to his creation musical adventure with Buddy Davis. You know, around here, Buddy always brings his songs and books and other presentations to life. And as a very popular adventurer, he leads a very popular children's workshops that we have here at the museum. You guys are in for a treat today. Now, out of respect for our Buddy and one another, we do ask that you silence your cell phone at this time. And we do have to warn you where the emergency exits are over here on your right and your left and in the front, as well as to the right as you exit out here into the lobby that you come in from. So at this time, get ready to clap your hands and tap your toes. You're allowed to do all those kind of things as we introduce Buddy Davis.
Well, greetings. How are y'all doing? Have you had good meetings so far? Hey, isn't this a nice place to come for a meeting? Isn't it about time you can come to a museum where you don't have to hear about millions of years in evolution? God gets the glory. Long, long overdue. Hey, do you know what? Today is Mary Jo's birthday, and she's been running around all over the place. Let's everybody sing happy birthday to Mary Jo, all right? Mary Jo, this is for you. Ready? Here we go, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mary Jo. Happy birthday to you. Yay. She's great. Hey, how many of y'all is it the first time we've been able to meet? I'd like to see your hands if the first time. Oh, well, it means I can tell the same jokes I've been telling then, so. Well, if I'm new to you guys, most of the dinosaurs that you see sculptured in the museum, I'm the artist who built those dinosaurs. I've been sculpturing dinosaurs for about 100 years. Not quite that long, but I make these guys out of fiberglass. So if you see any dinosaurs around here, it's a pretty good chance that I'm the guy who built those dinosaurs. But I've been singing a lot longer than what I've been building dinosaurs. I used to live down around Nashville, Tennessee. I was a singer-songwriter in Nashville, Tennessee for a while. How many of you have ever heard of a program called the Grand Ole Opry? Very good, very good. How many of you have ever heard of a television program called Hee Haw? Very good, very good. Well, I was never on any of those shows. But I've heard of them. I just want to see if you heard of them, too. You know what I like to do? I always like to start off with a word of prayer so we get our program started off right. So if you bow your heads with me, that's what we'll do right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the folks you brought in today. And do appreciate them coming in so much, dear Lord. And we just want this concert that you receive all the glory out of it, every bit of the glory. It's in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen indeed. Well, what we got up here, what we believe. Hey, this is a new song that I wrote. I did live in Nashville, Tennessee. I was a singer-songwriter down there for a while, so I like to do a lot of my own tunes when I do my concerts. So this song, I should back up just a little bit. I live in Central Ohio. In fact, I go home right after this. I've been down here for 6 days, and I go home. I live 180 miles away. I'm from a little place called Henpeck, Ohio. Henpeck. How'd you like to have that for an address? Henpeck. My wife just loves it there. It's just a wide spot in the road, though. But anyway, we live in an old log cabin right in the heart of Amish country. And so we live a little more old-fashioned than what most folks would live. And so I wrote about that in this song, but also wrote about a lot of things that I believe very much in this song. And I'm sure you guys will probably agree with me, at least on most of what I'm saying in this song. One of my new songs called What We Believe, and it goes like this.
Some say that I'm old-fashioned for what I think, but millions of people think like me. We know what's right from wrong, we know what's good and bad. We're not ashamed to say what we believe. We believe in helping a soul that is lost. We believe in love, faith and the cross. We respect the word of God and boldly say, Jesus is God's son and he's the only way. Say that I'm old-fashioned for what I think, but millions of people think like me. We know what's right from wrong, we know what's good and bad. Not ashamed to say what we believe. We'll fight freedom because we really care. We honor truth and bow our heads in prayer. We still say thank you, believe in praise, forgive one another, and thank God for grace. Some say that I'm old-fashioned for what I think, but millions of people think like me. We know what's right from wrong, we know what's good and bad. We're not ashamed to say what we believe. We believe that life is a gift from God. If we make a promise, you can bank on our word. Our friends and our family are more precious than gold. We protect our children and respect the old. Some say that I'm old-fashioned for what I think, but millions of people think like me. We know what's right from wrong, we know what's good and bad. We're not ashamed to say what we believe.
Well, bless your hearts. I appreciate that so much. There's a lady who goes to our church, and she knows my wife. Kay and I, we write books on animals. We write some wildlife books. In fact, they sell some of my books out in the bookstore. And she said, buddy, she says, since you write these books on animals, she says, I found an article in the newspaper. It's all about eagles. She says, I cut it out for you. She says, take this article home and read it. I think you'll find it to be interesting. So I took the article home. I read it, and I did find it to be very interesting. And according to the article that's in the newspaper, you know, when God created the eagle, he made a strange bird. And what I mean is, most times when a storm is approaching, most animals will seek shelter. They'll try to get away from the storm, but God designed the eagle a bit strange. Many times an eagle will fly directly towards a storm, and the eagle finds a high location, and it will wait for the wind from the storm to arrive. And when the wind arrives, the eagle spreads its wings, and the wind will get underneath the eagle's wings, and it will rise up above the storm. Now, it still has to go through the problem. It has to go through the storm. But God's taught it how to do that with faith and with courage. And I thought, wow, if God cares that much for the eagle, how much more does he care for human beings, people who are created in his image? And it's with those ideas I wrote this song. And I always like to dedicate this song to anybody in the audience that's going through a difficult time in your life. Probably more than one or two of you are. Maybe some things I can't even imagine what you must be going through. So I hope this song will minister to you. One of my songs called Soar. And I'm not going to use a track on this one, Rick. I'm just going to play my guitar on this one.
When the clouds grow dark as night and the storm is near, eagle flies and faces what most of creation fears. It spreads its wings and takes control when the angry winds arrive. High above the clouds that eagle flies, and down below there's lightning. Listen to that thunder roar, but look up through those clouds that eagle soars. Like the wings of an eagle, God will lift you up, I'm sure, when the storms of life awaken. Soar. The eagle won't escape the storm. It's learned to rise above. It's a symbol of faith and courage, and it's the power of God's love. If God cares for that eagle, friend, how much more he cares for you. The maker of the wind will see you through. And when that lightning flashes, listen to that thunder roar. But look up through those clouds that eagle soars. Like the wings of an eagle, God will lift you up, I'm sure, when the storms of life awaken. Soar. Like the wings of an eagle, God will lift you up, I'm sure, when the storms of life awaken. Soar.
Well, bless your hearts. I'm going to take just a minute and tune this guitar. It fell so far out of tune, I almost quit playing that song. I don't know if you guys could hear it or not, but that guitar was... This weather plays its... Has a hard time. Guitars have a hard time sometimes in this weather. Being a good boy or girl. How did that sound to you? Is that all right? Sounds much better, yeah. Whew, I tell you, I thought, what happened to my guitar? Oh, mercy. I get to build dinosaurs and sing songs. You can't beat that with a club. I'm so blessed. Well, oh, goody. I used to listen to my good friend Dr. Gary Parker talk about this bird we call the woodpecker, and I got to tell you, it's enough to make anybody believe in creation. For instance, did you all know that every time you hear this sound in the forest, brrr, and the woodpecker's drilling on the tree, well, the woodpecker, he blinks his eyes every time he makes that noise. And scientists used to think, well, the woodpecker's blinking its eyes to keep sawdust from getting in its eyes. That's what it's doing that for. That's what you think, but they found out, no, that's not the reason it does that. The reason it blinks its eyes is because it hits that tree so hard and so fast. In fact, it's as fast as some bullets will travel through the air, and that's enough pressure to keep the eyeballs in its head where they belong. That's pretty good design. Keep your eyeballs in your head. And then God designed the woodpecker with really stiff tail feathers. It's got to be stiff. Because it uses its tail as a brace against a tree. So it's a lot stiffer tail feathers than most birds will have. And then brain surgeons have studied the skull of this bird because God designed the skull so well, but it doesn't even end there. God put like a cushion in between the skull and the brain of the woodpecker so its brains don't turn to mush whenever it's drilling really hard on the tree. But what I love about the woodpecker, guys, I love its tongue. Check its tongue out. You talk about a strange-looking tongue and a bird. Now, most birds have a relatively short tongue in their mouth. Nope, not the woodpecker. He's got a really long, skinny tongue. And most birds' tongue will end right back here in their throat. No, not the woodpecker. He has an extension on the back of his tongue. And you can see the woodpecker's tongue wraps all the way around its skull and sticks inside of his right nostril. Yep. Woodpecker keeps part of his tongue inside of his nose. I tell that to boys and girls, and they usually go, cool. So when the woodpecker's drilling on a tree, grrr, and discovers, oh, there's a hole there, I wonder what's inside that hole. Well, the woodpecker takes that long, skinny tongue of his, sticks it down inside that long, skinny hole. Now, how's a woodpecker going to tell the difference between a bug or just a piece of sawdust? God thinks of everything. God designed, think of this now, God designed little tiny whiskers on the tip of that woodpecker's tongue that will tickle it. It can feel the movement. Ah, the woodpecker thinks, this is a bug. I can eat this problem. How's the woodpecker now going to draw that bug out of that long, tight, skinny hole? God thinks of everything. God made he made a factory in that woodpecker's tongue that makes glue. On the tip of his tongue makes glue. It's like a glue factory. The woodpecker glues the bug to the tip of its tongue, pulls the bug out of that long, tight, skinny hole. It's glued to his tongue. Now, how's a woodpecker ever going to swallow the bug that's glued to his tongue? God thinks of everything. God made another factory in that woodpecker's tongue, but this one is a dissolving factory that automatically dissolves that sticky substance so that woodpecker can swallow that bug. I mean, all this happens. It better work or there's not going to be a woodpecker. I don't know about you guys. That's an awful lot of things that has to happen by time, matter, and chance. It tells me we have an awesome God who knows how to do all the detail right from the get-go and designed all that information in the bird we call the woodpecker. Is God amazing or what? So I said I got to write me a song about the woodpecker. But before I do, God made the woodpecker's tongue, or his beak, very strong. It's got to be a strong beak, otherwise it'd look like this. And that would be terrible for the woodpecker. So, yeah, I said I'm going to write me a song about the woodpecker. I'm going to teach you guys my woodpecker song now. Hey, this is a fast song. I hope you guys like to clap your hands to the music, you know. Let's have some fun with this one right here. Help keep me on time a little bit in my music. So we'll have some fun with my woodpecker song. As soon as you catch on to the tune, sing right along with me. My woodpecker song goes like this.
How much wood does a woodpecker pack? One a woodpecker packs on wood. When a woodpecker packs, that woodpecker packs as much wood as it should pack wood. God made the woodpecker on day 5. When he finished, he said, it's good. How much wood does a woodpecker pack when they go pack, 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 pack? You'd think that woodpecker's bill would break or get a migraine when it eats. But God designed that woodpecker kind with a spring behind their beak. As they drill in a tree, it amazes me. Those birds don't break their necks. How much wood does a woodpecker pack when they go pack, 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 pack? How much wood does a woodpecker pack when a woodpecker packs on wood? When a woodpecker packs, that woodpecker packs as much wood as it should pack wood. God made the woodpecker on day 5. When he finished, he said, it's good. How much wood does a woodpecker pack when a woodpecker packs on wood? That woodpecker sounds just like a drum as he thumps against the tree. He blinks his eyes, the sawdust flies, he'll never miss a beat. God put a cushion in its head so its brains don't turn to mush. Put sticky stuff on its tongue so it can catch us. Buck, 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 buck. How much wood does a woodpecker pack when a woodpecker packs on wood? When a woodpecker packs, that woodpecker packs as much wood as it should pack wood. God made the woodpecker on day five. When he finished, he said, it's good. How much wood does a woodpecker pack when a woodpecker packs on wood? When a woodpecker packs, that woodpecker packs as much wood as it should pack wood.
Oh, you guys are wonderful. I'm going to get change gears 100% now. And this is a real serious song. I lost somebody that I love very much several years ago, and know I'm going to see him again. Aren't you looking forward to that time we get to see our loved ones again? Went on to be with the Lord. So I wrote this song for them. It's called If Heaven Had a Window. And I don't use a soundtrack on this one either, because if I use a soundtrack on it, you're kind of committed to do the whole song, and it can be a hard song sometimes for me to get all the way through. So I just usually sing one verse and a chorus of this song. So I wrote this for somebody that means a lot to me.
Heaven knows how I miss you, but I couldn't wish you back. I know you're healed completely, and heaven is where you're at. But if heaven had a window that I could look through, I'd search all through heaven just to get a glimpse of you. I know I'd see you smiling. There'd be a twinkle in your eyes. Surrounded by the angels, where loved ones never die. Oh, if heaven had a window that I could look through, I'd search all through heaven just to get a glimpse of you.
I had a radio station from Virginia call me up here a few months ago, and they said that was their most popular song they've ever had on radio. And the guy says he gets more requests for that. He says, I've been spinning records for 30 years. He says, it's by far the most popular CD that I've ever played on the radio. And so they called me up, and they wanted to do an interview with me, and did an interview. Then they wanted some CDs that they could give away on the air. So I'm glad that God's using that song. It's been used at a number of funerals and things like that. But you can imagine that can be a hard song to sing. So I rarely do the whole song. Well, I play about 8 instruments altogether. I tell people I don't play any of them very good, but I play 8 instruments. So I play a banjo, a fiddle, harmonica, of course, a guitar, mountain dulcimer. And one of my CDs that they sell out there, it's all instrumental. It's a green CD. It's in a green. It says Hymns of the Wildwood. And I just tell you that for one reason, because sometimes folks, they pick up that CD and they think that I'm singing on it. And when I tell them that I'm not singing on this one, they say, oh, that's the one we want, the one you're not singing on. So I'm going to play you a song. Don't you love Amazing Grace? That's got to be one of the all-time best gospel song that's ever been anybody's ever wrote and recorded. And so I recorded this one right here, and me and another guy did all the music. So the music that you hear, me and another guy did it all. So I'd lay down a guitar, and he'd lay down maybe a mandolin, then I'd put something else on, you know, how you build it up, and that's the way we made this record. So I'm going to play for you on my harmonica, and I'm going to let you guys sing, but I'm going to put this guitar down. I'm still not real happy with the way that guitar's sounding, but I think I can pull it off anyway. Goodness. Well, yeah, I'm going to do what's called cross-harping. And some people call it blues harp, some people call it country harp. So it's a little bit different way of playing a harmonica. Usually when you play a harmonica, you just blow in them. This one here, you got it, you're kind of sucking. You're going just the opposite way. It's a little bit different way. I like the way it sounds when you do it that way. So I'm going to play as good as I can. You guys sing as good as you can. It sounds like a plan. Make sure I got the right key. Nothing sounds worse than you pick up a harmonica in the wrong key, especially if you're using the track. You'll never forget that sound. So I make sure I got the right key when I do this. All right, let's do this. I'll play, and you guys sing Amazing Grace. It goes like this. That song lends me into the most important thing that I get to do in my concerts, and that's to tell the wonderful salvation message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And isn't that a wonderful message? My daughter, she calls me up sometimes, and she knows what I'm going to say, and she says, "Dad, what's going to be your favorite thing you do at the museum?" I say, "I get to tell people the salvation message. That's my favorite thing I get to do." And I really believe God lets me build dinosaurs and lets me sing and write songs because He knows that's what I'll do. The Bible says we're all sinners, right? I'm one of them, so I'm not talking down to anyone. I am a sinner, lost as I could be, without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I'm going to be in heaven because it's nothing that I've done to earn. It's everything that Christ has done for me. Are you saved? You know, sometimes we have atheists that will come to the museum, And be honest with you, most of them leave the museum with their hearts as hard as when they walked in, still scoffing, making fun, laughing. You silly Christians, how can you believe all this stuff? But they believe everything got here from nothing. How can you get something from nothing? I mean, you don't have nothing. And somehow nothing became something, but it was real little, about the size of a period on a page, and went bang. You talk about a big bang. The galaxy is what was the result. And you talk about faith. You know, anybody that walks in this museum would know that it didn't happen by an explosion in a brick factory. Right? You walk in this museum, it shows evidence of design. Am I right on that? I give you as many millions of years as you want. If you walk in this museum, I don't care how many millions of years you'd want, it's obvious it had a designer. Yet this museum, with its lights that's working, the microphone that's working, the piano that's tuned on the stage, the computer that's running the pictures on the screen right here, all this all put together can't even be compared to one cell in our body. Can't be compared to a cell. No wonder God says you're without excuse for not believing. So it's certainly not about the evidence. The evidence for God is overwhelming. And I know that some folks, their eyes, the scales are on their eyes. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit takes the scales off of anybody's eyes that might be in here. I realize I'm preaching to the choir here. But you never know. You never know. You never know. And God could have you here for a reason. The Bible says we're all sinners, be condemned to hell if we don't believe. You don't hear a lot of preaching today about hell. There'll be a lot more of it, because God's word has a lot to say about that. And that's the alternative. That's where we'll end up if we have not asked Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. God created a perfect world. When God calls something good, it'd be better than our standards of good would ever be. He created a perfect world, but it's ruined because of sin. We're all from the loins of Adam, every one of us. So we're all in this together. God, so holy, can have no part of sin. We often hear about the love of God, and he is that. He certainly is that, but he's a just God. And he has to judge sin, or he wouldn't be God. And here's the good news. We'd all be condemned because we live in this sin-cursed world. But Jesus, God's Son, and Jesus is the Creator. His right hand strung out to heavens. I don't know if you've been on our planetarium program yet or not. There's a lot of stars out there. And he made them all. And some of those stars would make our sun look like a BB next to a beach ball. That's how big God is. He's not some Superman, somebody who's a little bit bigger than that, bigger than me when we're praying, or bigger than an angel. He's God. He holds the world in his hands, and he's bigger than that. That's a poor illustration. He's so mighty, and he's so full of mercy that his son, Jesus Christ, willingly came to this earth, died a terrible death on a cross for Buddy Davis. And who in the world am I that the King of Kings would die for me? Bible says that he was beat. He didn't even look like a human being when they were done with him. He could have called angels to be at his side right now. He could have ended it right then, but he didn't do that. He went through all that so that you could be saved. And all he asks is that you put your faith and your trust in him and ask him to forgive you of your sins. You need to repent of your sins. Might be some things you need to change. Have you done that? Are you saved? Make sure you're going to be in heaven. I tell boys and girls, and I tell audiences wherever I'm at, the most important decision that any of us will ever make in our life, nothing comes close to making sure you're saved. If you've not asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you need to take care of that. Could be why you're here today. Well, that's a salvation message. That's my favorite thing I get to do. I don't know how to make it any clearer than what I did. It's not hard, and what more would Christ have to do? What more would he have to do? I said he died on that cross. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from that grave. And right now, he's preparing a place for us that's better than we can ever possibly imagine. You know a song that I'll never sing in heaven? You know one that I won't be singing? If Heaven Had a Window, that song I did a little bit earlier. Because I'll be with my loved one. And I can just imagine me being in heaven, and I catch something out of my peripheral vision, and I look, and there's my loved one there with a smile as big as the moon. And they come running towards me. And I'm running towards them, and you talk about a tight hug. You're in heaven now. No more airplanes flying into buildings. No more tsunamis. No more telephone calls coming in the middle of the night and saying, get to the hospital quickly. Doesn't look a bit good. Then no more doctors walking into a room with a long face and say, you better sit down. I've been there. I've done that. We live in a sin-cursed world. That'll be no more. And when I look and I see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and all his might and all his power, and all his glory, I know my knees will melt like jelly in front of my holy God, and he will have to wipe the tears from my eyes, or I never would quit crying. You make sure you're going to be in heaven. most important decision you ever make in your life. Why, we got Swamp Man. Oh, I'm really blessed these days. Answers in Genesis is letting me make some adventure shows. They've playing you little clips before I came up here of some of my movies. And they've been winning awards, believe it or not. My movies have been winning awards. In fact, there's a television crew from England to watch one of my movies. They liked it so well, they came here and they signed a contract with Answers in Genesis. They own over 600 television stations all over the world, and my movies is now being seen all over the world. Said millions of people, and the salvation message is in every one of them. Is God great or what? And to God be the glory. Just think of the people. And then we just finished probably about 6 weeks ago now. So I was in New York City. Boy, me and New York City is something. Man, the sights you see. And some of them were people. But we filmed 13 episodes for a television station in Central America. I guess there's 100 stations in Central America. It took 13 of my programs that we filmed out in New York City. So we're really excited what God's doing with all this stuff. But I'm going to play you a song that I wrote for this movie. And this is just a fun song. This is what this is. Anybody here like Cajun music, Louisiana music? Yeah, good. Okay, well, some of you do. Very good. See, I like the swamp. I go to the swamp every chance I get. In fact, I'm a guide at the Okefenokee Swamp sometimes in Georgia. Take people from the museum and take them on a real swamp trip. So you might want to join me on one of the swamp trips one of these days. We see all kinds of critters down there. So I love that type of stuff. So when they said I was going to get to make a movie about the swamp, we filmed this in the Florida Everglades, most of it. My wife and I, we kayaked the entire length of the Florida Everglades here a while back. That's 100 miles from one end of the Everglades to the other. That's a big swamp. You can get lost out there. And so we had a lot of fun doing that type of stuff. So I'm going to play you this song. Does anybody here ever watch Duck Dynasty? Yeah, if you watch that show, you have been to my house. That's pretty much it. I kid you not. So anyway, I had a lot of fun with this. Do you like animals? A lot of critters and things. If you like animals, you probably like this song. I know some of you like. I told my fiddle player. I said, "No, I use the same musicians all the time." And so I told my fiddle player. I said, "Now this is a Cajun song. It's about the swamp. I want that Cajun music in there. Can you fiddle that for me?" He says, "I can handle it." And he sure did. So you hear him playing the fiddle in here. So we'll have some fun with this one right in here, from one of my movies called Swamp Man. It goes like this.
Walking barefooted to the swamp today, watching blue herons and the egrets play. Swatting those skeeters and biting my skin, looking at the gators and making them grin. If you look for me, tell you where I'll be, catching snapping turtles and setting them free. Where the beaver and the otter, the muskrat swim, God created me to be a swamp man. The Lord made me to be a swamp man. Every inch of water has a foot of mud, a ton of skeeters that'll take your blood. Down in the swamp where the bullfrogs croak, hit your ride on a gator if you sink your boat. If you look for me, tell you where I'll be, catching snapping turtles and setting them free. Where the beaver and the otter and the muskrat swim, God created me to be a swamp man. The Lord made me to be a swamp man. A little bit of Cajun fiddle. Where's my hand clappers at? Feel that mud in between your toes. A crayfish pinches and it won't let go. A hound dog treed at a raccoon den. God made the swamp and me a swamp man. If you look for me, tell you where I'll be, catching snapping turtles and setting them free. Where the beaver and the otter and the muskrat swim, God created me to be a swamp man. The Lord made me to be a swamp man. If you look for me, tell you where I'll be, catching snapping turtles and setting them free. Where the beaver and the otter and the muskrat swim, God created me to be a swamp man. The Lord made me to be a swamp man. to be a strong man. Hey.
Well, you guys have been wonderful. We're going to do you one more tune. I've been playing a Taylor guitar. A lot of guitar pickers want to know what kind of guitar is playing. That was a Taylor guitar. This one is a Martin D28. I should have been playing this one. This one's in tune. Oh, goodness. My Aunt Ruth showed me the first chord I ever learned on a guitar. The first chord I ever learned was a G chord, and she told me the way you play your G chord, this is the way she taught me to do it. On the third fret, 1, 2, 3, and take that big fat string on top, put your thumb on it. On the third fret. And then on this little skinny string, the first one, third fret, 1, 2, 3. And then you do them all together like this. You have a G chord. Now, I'm on the road now, and I'm around a lot of guitar pickers, and if they watch me play my G chord like this, oh, they frown. They frown. They think. They say, "Buddy, what are you doing playing your G chord like that? What's the matter with you? You ought to play it correctly. You ought to play it like this." Some say you ought to play it like this. Some say you ought to bar it and play it like this. But I still play it the way my Aunt Ruth taught me, like this. And the way I get around all that, I tell people, you see all these guitar players on television going like this? They're looking for it. I found it. Oh, goodness, you guys have been great. We'll do you one more tune here. You ought to check me out on Facebook. I'm on AIG Buddy Davis. You got to put on AIG Buddy Davis. Just don't put in my name. It's got to be AIG Buddy Davis to find me on Facebook. I told you I live right in the heart of Amish country. That's my cabin. That's a 180-year-old cabin. That's where I'll be going here right after this. And that's my horse Cowboy, and right there's my buggy. That's what I rode to work today. You believe that one? Good, yeah, good, all right. I'll give you a card right here. It's a free card. Don't cost you a dime, and I'll give that to anybody that comes up to me. If you want me to sign it, I'll sign it. That has my Facebook page on the back of it, in case you forget AIG Buddy Davis to tell you how to do that. Or I'll sign your tennis shoe. I'll sign your billfold. I'll sign your credit card. I signed a pacifier the other day. Believe it or not, I signed a pacifier. I did. And I had a guy come up to me. He had a bald head. This is the truth. He had a bald head, and he says, "I'm a chaplain in a prison." He says, "I want you to sign my head, and I'm going to take it back and show the prisoner." So I signed his head. I said, "Well, I hope this helps." Oh, mercy. Well, anyway, there's some of my CDs. They got a bunch of them out there. I've recorded about 20 CDs. Some of the songs I did today is on this one right here. I did some love songs on that one. Talk about love songs. I wrote some love songs for my wife. They're wholesome songs. Nothing wrong with love songs if they're good, wholesome songs. Now, if it's cheating, stealing, stuff like that, you'll never hear that coming out of my mouth. But if it's good between a man and a woman, that is good. So my wife, she travels every place with me. Kay, can you wave your arm at him? She's up there in the back. Wave your arm at him. That's my wife. Okay, that's enough. Look this way. I just hate it, and somebody else gets all the attention. No, I'd be lost without Kay. And Rick's going to my sound for me. Give Rick a great big hand. He's got his hands full around here. Yep. Appreciate him so much. This is one of my movies. They recorded this right at my house, and it's called Homemade Music, and so it's a music DVD that you watch on TV, but it's recorded right in our old log cabin, and it has a recipe book that's in it as well, because since they called it Homemade Music, they said, "Hey, how about putting in some of your favorite recipes that Kay makes for you?" So I got in squirrel stew. I really do tell you how it's good. Does anybody ever have a chocolate mayonnaise cake? Oh, it is awesome. It is awesome. See what? Snow ice cream. Anybody ever make snow ice cream? Yeah, it's really good stuff. Green fried tomatoes, so we got a bunch of that kind of stuff in there. So it's got how to do some recipes. It's got a bunch of my music. Very good. My latest book is on the Ice Age. And I drew the pictures in this book, and I wrote the book obviously for children, made it very colorful. But if you don't know about the Ice Age, what a way to start, because I tell when the Ice Age happened, how long after the worldwide flood. And the flood is the key to make the Ice Age happen. A lot of people don't have a clue about the Ice Age, and this will give you a clue. And so this went through a number of scientists before it was ever published. And so they're all in agreement, but I wrote it in a way that people can understand it. This is some of my movies. They were playing you clips of these. These are the ones that TV crew from England signed up to be shown all over the world. My newest one's going to be out this in probably about 2 weeks, and that's what it looks like right there. What do you think? Don't they do neat-looking covers on these things? All right, well, I'll do you one more tune. You guys probably know by now that I was pretty much raised on the music of Hank Williams and Johnny Cash. And when I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, they made it clear to me. They said, now, Buddy Davis, there's one Hank Williams. Don't need two of them down here. You have to develop your own style of singing. You don't try to copy another artist. Buddy, there's one Johnny Cash. We don't need two of them down here. You have to develop your own style of singing. So down through all these years, I've tried to develop my own style of singing, which is a pretty good indication why I never really made it. I say that with tongue in cheek because I think I have made it. Anytime you can stand in front of an audience and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, He loves you very much, He died for your sins. If you put your faith and trust in Him and Him only, you'll be in heaven. That's better than all the number one CDs that will ever come out of Nashville, Tennessee. And I get to do that on a regular basis. But I often do this song when I'm on the road traveling. I end my concerts with this one right here because it is an old Johnny Cash song. You could always tell a Johnny Cash record way before you'd ever hear Johnny sing. Did you ever notice that? Before he would sing a note, you'd hear the guitar. And just listening to the guitar, a pretty good clue that it's probably going to be a Johnny Cash record before he'd ever sing a note. See if anybody in the audience remembers a guitar on the radio. It sounded something like this. Yeah, a lot of you do. Well, that wasn't Johnny. No, that was his guitar player, Luther Perkins. I'm told Luther just hated the chain strings in that old Fender guitar he used to play. I understand that because I don't like the chain strings very much myself. Luther was fun to watch on stage. I worked with the Johnny Cash Show when I was probably about 15 years old, and Johnny's bass player produced a lot of my earlier CDs. But Luther was fun to watch on stage because he always acted like he was scared to death of the audience. He'd hardly ever smile at the people, never really look them in the eye. On stage, he looked something like this. Now, Johnny's just the opposite. He is all over the stage, and he could play a guitar really well, but a lot of times on purpose he wouldn't do it all that well. I'm sure we have some guitar pickers in the audience. You know, a good clear E chord on the guitar is going to sound like this. Johnny Cash's E chord sound more like this. But he was clever. He was clever. He decided, now, if I speed that up, make that faster. It's got to be a lot faster. Sounds a lot better. Sounds a little bit like a snare drum. And you would hear that in the background of those old Sun recordings that he did for Sam Phillips in Memphis, Tennessee. And while Johnny was doing this on his guitar, Luther Perkins was busy doing this on his guitar. Next, Johnny, he'd walk up to the microphone. He wouldn't always do this, but a lot of times he'd try to find his key before he'd start to sing, and he might walk on stage before he'd start to sing and do something like this.
Hi, I'm Johnny Cash.
Well, I'm going to do for you an old Johnny Cash song, but I do it the way that I'd normally sing this song. You guys have been awesome. I hope you had a good time. We hope we put a smile on your face a time or two. Hope you tapped your foot a time or two. Hope we touched your heart a time or two. But most of all, hope you're drawn a little bit closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And right after this last song, they got me right out there. If you want one of those free cards, just come right up there, and I'll be happy to sign it for you if you want me to do so. So you guys probably know this song. If you know the words, just jump right in there and sing. This will be our last time we can work together. If you want to clap your hands with the music, last time we can work together. Here we go.
Well, there was a time I know when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went on to the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago. long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, 'cause he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. That was my Johnny Cash lick. Think I'll do it again, 'cause it's fun. Now, sinners, seek the Lord, repent of all your sins. This he has commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, well, you know you got it settled. You settled it long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, 'cause he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
God bless you all. Thanks.
There he is. Buddy Davis, everyone. Thank you so much, Buddy. We really appreciate you.